and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
You may kneel, stand, or be seated. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present standing for our punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may be like your will and walk in your ways, for the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son for you, to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please stand. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Anybody else want to come up? Oh, no, okay. Hi, guys. I'm going to read this to you, and this is our epistle lesson, and it's found in 1 Corinthians. And then I'm going to show you something. And it's one of the parts of this 1 Corinthians passage. It said that Paul, who was writing that to the Corinthians, said, "I planted, Apollo watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God gives the growth." Well, I have, what would you call this?
A seed.
A seed, yeah, it's a little bulb. And when you plant it, you know, you put this little hairy side down, and as you can see already, something's growing. But you would put it in some dirt, right?
It's a stem.
It's a stem that's coming up through there, yeah.
Is that a real
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is real.
It is a real. Yeah. Well, actually, so it starts out kind of little. And what that Bible passage was talking about is that somebody can plant the seed, but then somebody else can water it. Somebody else, well, like, for instance, sunshine comes, and I have this case, because actually this plant belongs to Mr. Tim. I don't plant stuff. I just, yeah. Anyway, and so, yeah, he would take this pot and he would water it, and then God would send the sunshine, or maybe like today it's rain, and God sent the rain, so it would help that little seed grow. And what happens is that you get a beautiful orchid out of that. But it took a lot of time. It took a lot of patience. And it finally bloomed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's real.
It smells really good. All right. Well, it's kind of like you and our faith in God. Because Jesus died on the cross for us, and there are people who have taught us, kind of like watering us. And who kind of those people might be who taught us about Jesus?
God and Jesus.
God and Jesus, okay. But did anybody else tell you about Jesus when you were little? Me?
And my dad and my mom.
Your dad and your mom, yes. Maybe some teachers, like your Sunday school teachers. And they're kind of like this. All right, there's a little seed of faith in you when you were baptized. And the Lord, through those people, has said, okay, I'm going to give you some water, like the baptism water, and you are going to grow in your faith. Meaning that you're going to love Jesus more and more each and every day and each and every year of your life. And only it's because of God, though. Because without the Lord, you wouldn't be anything. So.
I don't know if you're going to stay like that small.
Maybe not that small, no. But you grow in your heart loving Jesus. And that's what you need to remember. So when you read your Bible, when you come up and get your blessing, when you pray, all those things help water the faith that was put in you and the love of Jesus in your heart so you can share it with other people. All right. And then you turn out to be as beautiful as those orchids.
Can I tell?
Sure.
Okay. Like, if you're the little seed that's going to get planted, and now you grow bigger, that seed will grow bigger, like, say, it'll grow bigger like
because you are the seeds, and the seed is God's word that is in your heart.
Like the salt.
Like the salt from last week, yes. All right, let's say a prayer. And what I want you to remember this week, to think to yourself, to God the glory. That means to praise God and thank him and love him, all right? So that'll be your thoughts for this whole week, to God the glory. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for planting your seed of love and forgiveness in our hearts. May we continue to grow in faith and loving you and each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
The first lesson for this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. You will not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson for today comes from 1 Corinthians. But I, brothers, could not address you as a spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not of the flesh, are you not of the flesh, and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We speak together our summary of Christian faith in the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christ. may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good Christian family, friends, as we're gathered here today, we continue this the third week in a row, where we are looking at a portion of the sermon preached by Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, historically referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And these words of Jesus that we just heard read to us in this gospel segment seem to be in stark contrast to the grace-filled words that we're used to hearing from him when he's teaching. Indeed, the teaching today isn't what one would read in a Valentine card. Yet Jesus aims at our hearts.
in this teaching. You see, in baptism, Jesus gave you a new heart. What's wrong with the old heart? And what is this new heart like? So we think about that for a moment as I enter into the message today. We want to keep in mind last week's teaching of Jesus. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And as you recall, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were considered the most righteous and upright people of their day. When we look at righteousness, that means to measure up to what the law says. When we look at righteousness, that means meeting the requirements of the law. It's right. It means to be right in the sight of the law. And so the Pharisees and the teachers at that time were righteous in their own minds according to their interpretation of the law. You see, let me give you an example of what that would be like. So a speeder appears in traffic court and argues, "Yes, I saw the speed limit sign and it said 55 miles an hour. But I thought it meant, and I interpreted it to mean, that you couldn't go 55 miles per hour faster than the other traffic. So that's why I was under 110, Your Honor." Now, that person might be righteous in his own eyes, but not in the judge's eyes, right? And that's whose opinion matters, the judge. So in the teachings, Jesus exposes their false interpretation of God's law, and he clearly shows why sinners, by their own efforts, do not have genuine righteousness. So as we begin this teaching and we look at the fifth commandment, do not murder. The Pharisees' interpretation said that only if someone killed another person, only then would they face judgment in court. And so since they hadn't killed anybody, they figured they were righteous in the eyes of the law. I haven't killed anybody. But you see, what Jesus is teaching, this law isn't for earthly courts. If you were to continue to read the commandments, we come to the 9th and 10th. And they forbid coveting. You see, that happens in the heart. So God not only aims for outward actions that a human court might judge, but also the actions of the heart, the thoughts and emotions on the inside. Perhaps we could paraphrase Jesus' teaching like this. They say that only a murderer should end up under judgment in court, but I tell you that even anger in the heart makes you guilty in the courtroom. And if that anger goes so far to actually speak an angry word of contempt, like raka, which is like empty-headed, imbecile, stupid, a very derogatory term, the highest court in the land, the Sanhedrin, ought to hear the case. In fact, any angry name-calling, "you fool, you idiot," sends the guilty speaker into the fires of hell. Now, who among us has that kind of righteousness? You see, earthly courts can't judge the heart. And Jesus isn't saying here in the teaching that they should judge the heart. But rather than feeling righteous, because an earthly court can't maybe find you guilty of anything, we have to consider ourselves in God's courtroom. God's courtroom, not the courtrooms of people. So he exposes the thoughts, the attitudes, and emotions of the heart. For you see, that's the righteousness. That's the righteousness that counts. In this teaching, you see, the heart, matters of the heart. So who has that? Who has that type of righteousness?
How many times have you argued, and I too, my anger is justified? Ugh. You see, Jesus was angry, remember? He went and turned over the money changer tables and was angry with the merchants in the temple courtyard. So, yeah, I'm angry. It's righteous. But righteousness flows from the love of God and love for neighbor. Remember, we had the prayer with the children to love God, love one another. Jesus teaching, love God, love one another. You see, Jesus was filled with zeal for God's house, and the money changers dishonored God and harmed the spiritual worship of the people. And so the love for God and for the love for people moved him. That's righteous anger. So what do we do when we say my anger is justified? Well, generally, that means you've been wronged in some way. You've been hurt. My rights have been infringed. By the way, everybody has the right to be angry, don't they? And that's not righteous anger. It's the kind of anger Jesus says brings us to the fires of hell. And that's difficult language for us to hear today. For if it doesn't come for the love of God or love for others, then it's coming from love of self. Remember the I've been hurt, I've been injured, I've suffered. You see, that's the anger that wants to lash out, get even, somehow make things, I'm going to make them hurt. Rather than showing love and kindness, you want to treat the other person as an enemy. This is tough teaching if it's on our own merits. And that's what Jesus is building here as he's teaching. So hear me out. You might think that our actions make us righteous. I'm going to go to church every Sunday. But what's in our hearts? What's in our hearts? Somehow I can do something that will make God love me more, or it's okay if I just give more, things will be okay. Give more offering, things will be okay. You see, when Jesus says to leave the gift at the altar and go and be reconciled, he's saying, get rid of that anger in the heart, those bricks that you're carrying around, that weight, that oppression that you're carrying around. It was like in that day, a person would be taken to court. If they owed a debt, they'd put them in prison until the money was paid. And obviously, they figured out after a while, putting people in prison, well, how are they going to pay the money back if someone else doesn't come up with it? So he's teaching harboring of anger is destructive, but yet go be reconciled. Show love and kindness. And if the other refuses to be reconciled, then they have incurred the debt that they will carry and pay for. But by setting aside and giving that and being that conduit, that way that Christ's love flows from God abundantly through you to others, that's immeasurable. That's immeasurable. And then you return in peace. You see how far this surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees, how it surpasses our own sense of justice and righteousness. We fall short. We fall short. But what good news we heard declared last week in Jesus' teaching. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So he has fulfilled the law for you, for me. Completely and perfectly. His righteousness meets the requirements of the law perfectly and fully. His righteousness counts as your record in God's courtroom as you stand there in faith. Faith, which is a gift that clings to Jesus alone. You see, that's the new heart Jesus gives to us as he calls you and declares you righteous. And that new heart in change, it responds. It's not a law thing, it's a love thing in response. Cherishes the righteousness Jesus gives to us. For it is genuine, it is true, it is nothing that we could come up with, create, write about, or concoct. And as our new hearts cherish Jesus' righteousness, we cherish righteousness in our lives. For you've been washed in the waters of baptism. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. So why would we carry about anger, hatred? Jesus called us the salt. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And what better way than to lean on him and to seek his strength in being that salt and living in his righteousness and peace. God's righteousness and peace that can be given or imparted by no other. We know that no matter what that harm may have been, God works that, works through that. We don't understand it. And imagine the bounty of his blessing far outweighing anything that we would experience. Far outweighs the hurt, the curses that might be heaped upon us. We look at the cross and we see the Lord has worked righteousness for you there on that cross. Despite the harm and hurt, his enemies sought to cause and inflict on him. And as we come to the Lord's table today to receive his body and blood given and shed for you, and with your new heart clothed in Christ's righteousness, we cherish the genuine righteousness that God works in your life. And by and through his grace and strength enables you to lay aside the anger. So your righteousness is not just one on the outside like the Pharisees. Well, I didn't murder anybody. It's genuine, as deep as your own heart, purified by God. Jesus speaks of the sixth commandment, do not commit adultery. It includes much more than cheating on a spouse. It applies to married, but also unmarried. Lustful intentions break God's commandment. Unless you're looking at your spouse within the covenant of marriage, anything outside impure and not God pleasing. And it's very tempting for us in our relationships. Well, it's not my fault. My eyes wander. I'm human. So if it was really a problem with our eye, Jesus uses, well, pluck it out. Pluck it out and you'll be pure. Hey, cut off your hand. That's causing you to sin. After all, you know, if you're sick and there's a limb that's diseased, you might have to amputate it to save the rest of the body, right? But it's not a matter of the eye or the hands. And that's what the illustration is today to get, as he's teaching, it's a heart matter. And that's where lust and passions and sinful desires come from. Again, God coming to us, aiming to our hearts. So you are the salt and light as you uphold the plan for marriage and sex within marriage. Your new heart clothed with Jesus' righteousness. It longs for a life pure from sinful lust, cherishes a life of genuine righteousness. Yes, we live in a broken and sinful world, and it's hard to turn away from temptations and passions. It's everywhere, television, anywhere you look, there is an appeal to that sense in every one of us in some way. And so as we're looking at our entertainment choices, be mindful of the effects that it has on us. Magazines, movies, music, all of the things that the world is throwing at us. The Apostle Paul writes, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. You should avoid sexual immorality. Each of you should learn to control his body in a way that's holy and honorable and not in passionate lust, like the heathen who do not know God. Wow, what a way to let your light shine forth to others and praise your Father in heaven to be salt and light and to draw from the genuine righteousness God has given to you in your hearts through Christ. And finally, as he concludes the Sermon of the Mount, we look at the second commandment, the misuse of God's name. Some oaths are good and proper when necessary out of love for God and his honor and love for a neighbor and well-being. But Jesus lets himself be under oath when the high priest asked him if he were the Son of God. So there is an appropriate, but see, Pharisees misused oaths. They had elaborate systems of sidestepping some oaths and enforcing others. If we were to read a little further, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let the talk and conversation be honest and forthright. Luther wrote, put the best construction on things. Yes, I know. That's tough. When we hear what Jesus is teaching today, it's very easy for us to fall into, oh my, there's finger pointing and list checking, that somehow I'm going to point fingers and somehow give you a list. Okay, check this off and everything will be fine. But Jesus is saying, I have done what you cannot do, and I am coming to you not only with this teaching, but I have given of my very self for you. And as we sing, create a new heart, O God, in our liturgy sometimes. Renew a right spirit within me. We are turning to God for that strength and source of grace, love, forgiveness, and in dealing with anger, lustful thoughts, and other things that we face daily. Our new hearts cherish the genuine righteousness that shines out through our words and our deeds. And as we do that, we can be like the little Christs, that salt and light with people whom we meet and deal with. So don't leave here today thinking I'm pointing or giving you a list, but rather leaving here today hearing the words of Jesus to say, I have fulfilled these things for you. Lean on me. Turn to me. I've come to you as I come to you in baptism. I'm coming to you at the table today to declare you righteous. And for us in response to say, thank you, Lord, have mercy. Lord, take this anger. Lord, take these passions. Take my sins. We started our service with a confession and absolution. Indeed, it's all about Jesus and what he has done and is doing for us and will do for each one of us. And only he has the righteousness that saves. None of us does. For he has fulfilled the law for you and me and has given us a new heart. And for this, we thank him and praise him, for he is worthy to be thanked, praised, and glorified, not out of a compunction or an obligation, but rather out of genuine response and the joy that we receive. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for you. For the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
invite the congregation to stand as we continue with the prayer of the church. And before we begin, I would call your attention to the back of the bulletin where we have many names whom we lift up today. You may also lift up silently during our time of prayer those that are on your hearts and minds. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you make us your children in baptism and desire that we grow and mature in the faith. Bless pastors, teachers, parents, and all who teach your word, and give us a constant desire to hear and obey it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear your prayers.
Almighty God, you condemn unrighteous anger even as you command, you shall not murder. You have poured out your righteous anger on your Son at the cross that we might be reconciled to you. Where there is division, move us to repent and seek reconciliation with one another so that we might live in peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of life, you condemn sexually impure thoughts, even as you command, you shall not commit adultery. Deliver us from lustful thoughts and defend us from the temptations of pornography, that we may lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O God, the author of truth, you command us, you shall not swear falsely. Give us faith to acknowledge your word and by your strength do what you command. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord of all, you judge the peoples in righteousness and equity. Give wisdom to our nation's authorities. Preserve us from unjust division and cause us to love one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, our God, you are our life and our length of days. Sustain and strengthen those who suffer sickness and affliction, especially Pam and Dorothy and Eleanor, Les, Sue and Mike, Carl, Steve, Tom, Jackie, Mike, Francine, Glenn, Susan. We pray also for those on our hearts and minds whom we lift up to you at this time silently. We pray that you bring comfort to those who mourn, and we pray that you be with those who are facing these physical, mental, and spiritual challenges. Be with them and strengthen them, comfort them, and bring them the promise of everlasting life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, we pray for our Great Beginnings preschool staff and families. Continue to keep them safe. Let us be salt and light to the families that we serve. We pray also for missionaries Alan, Lindsay, and Josie. We pray for Pastor Josu and members of Grace Lutheran in Haiti. Heavenly Father, we lift up to you our service personnel, Ryan and Andy. We pray for those who serve for us worldwide and for law enforcement, medical personnel, first responders, firemen, all those that they may serve justly and be safe, Lord, as they go about serving us each and every day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, you give growth to the church by your holy word and sacraments. Preserve your people from the wisdom of the world, which creates division and follows after the winds of the age. Unite the church in a common confession of your truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now, one God, now, and forever.
Amen.
As we continue with our offering, I invite you to place your offerings in the plate as you enter and exit the building or mail them to the church through the U.S. mail. Please remain standing as we sing together the offertory.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Spirit, I be thine, shine
Please stand. His true body and true blood strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Give you peace. Amen. Amen.